Richard, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining me. Now, straight into it, what evidence is there suggesting that Mount Agung is set to erupt?
The evidence is that there's an increasing number of earthquakes that are associated with movement of magma in the Earth's crust below Agung Volcano. And the earthquakes have been steadily moving upwards towards the surface. So, and now they're occurring between about 2 and 5 kilometers predominantly below the summit. And that's really bad news because the closer the magma moves towards the surface, the more likely it is to erupt. And I could explain that a bit further if you'd like.
Oh, well, I mean, certainly feel free to. I think a little bit more information never hurts.
Well, the Ring of Fire volcanoes like Agung or Mount Fuji or a whole bunch of them around the Pacific and the Eastern Indian Ocean, the magmas that erupt are particularly rich in volatile compounds like water, carbon dioxide, and sulfur dioxide, much richer than, say, the magmas that erupt on the island of Hawaii. Now, these volatiles, under pressure, are dissolved in the magma. Just the way carbon dioxide is dissolved in your carbonated beverage at pressure by the company that's trying to sell you this stuff. If you flip the lid off a carbonated beverage can or bottle, you release the pressure, and what you see happen is bubbles of carbon dioxide appearing in the liquid. In other words, the atmospheric pressure that's all around you in the can or bottle is no longer sufficient to keep the carbon dioxide in solution. It's exactly analogous with the magma. The dissolved volatiles, as you move that magma up towards the Earth's surface, is being depressurized. The pressure on the system is lower. The gases start coming out of solution and forming now a mixture of liquid silicate and gases, dissolved as appearing as bubbles in the magma. That combined system is more buoyant than when the volatiles were dissolved in the magma. So you're getting a sort of runaway process that as the magma moves to more shallow levels, gases come out of solution. The mixture of magma and gas bubbles is more and more buoyant. So the tendency is, as you get closer to the surface, for a runaway effect. And this magma-gas bubble mix is trying to burst its way to the surface. And if it finds a weakness, a crack, it'll capitalize on that, penetrate up to the surface, and you get a kind of runaway as more and more of this magma with its bubbles appears at the Earth's surface. So the shallow seismic activity is really worrying because it's more unlikely to stop now than it was, say, a week ago.
Right. So the pressure has built up and built up. So it is looking imminent. Now, it last erupted in 1963, and at the time, records show that global atmospheric pressures dropped by 0.1 to 0.4 degrees Celsius. That doesn't sound like a big temperature drop, but what kind of effect can a drop like that have on Earth?
Yes, so that was the last eruption, 63, 64, was one of the biggest in 100 years. And you're quite right. Instrumental measurements of the temperature of the stratosphere and troposphere, which were pretty good at the time, showed that there was that kind of fraction of a Celsius, 1 degree Celsius temperature drop. Nobody would have noticed that. It wouldn't have had a global effect. And it's a temporary downward spike in the global temperatures. There have been eruptions which have had much larger effects. For example, we've been citing Agung, the eruption of 63-64, as one of the biggest in 100 years. That tastefully avoids a little bit further back in time, 1815, a volcano to the east of Bali called Tambora, and it's on Sumbawa. Tambora erupted in 1815, and it put out 10 times more material, ash and dust and lava, than Agung in 1963-64. And the eruption of Tambora in 1815, that triggered a global temperature drop, quite significant, of a degree or so. And how do we know that? Well, there were frosts in the Northern Hemisphere in August. It was called the Year Without Summer, 1816. It led to worldwide lurid sunsets. So the painter J.M.W. Turner was painting amazing pictures because of the oranges and reds in the sky. Munch's The Scream was painted at the same time. And there were enough, so that size of eruption did cause a significant effect, and there were crop failures. In the case of Agung, last time, no, the amount of material injected into the stratosphere, and by the way, it's primarily the sulfur dioxide that's emitted by these particular volcanoes that through a series of reactions forms sulfuric acid droplets, aerosols, and they have a net radiative cooling effect in the stratosphere. It reflects incoming solar radiation and drops the temperature that's received, drops the amount of energy received in the ground and leads to cooler temperatures.
Right. Well, that was the part I was a little bit cloudy on, because if there's anything volcanoes are known for, it's being rather on the warm side of things. So the idea of this this, you know, dangerous eruption happening and cooling things down did seem to be a little bit murky to me.
I was going to say, yes, it's kind of bizarre, isn't it? If you're close to it, you get scorched. If you're somewhere other than the localized environment around the volcano itself, it can have a global cooling effect. That's quite right. A bit perverse, really.
Well, with the global cooling effect like this, you mentioned that eruption that happened in the 1800s, which had drastic global effects that were quite ongoing. How long lasting would this sort of temperature drop from an eruption be?
A year or two at most. And it doesn't eliminate photosynthetic plants growing and thriving to a large extent. But by the way, this effect of throwing dust and particularly sulfur compounds into the stratosphere, the dust itself has a cooling effect. So that's the nuclear winter kind of idea, that if you bomb places and put enough dust in the atmosphere, it puts a dust cloud around the planet, stopping sunlight penetrating the Earth's surface. And also, there was there was a program recently on TV about the Cretaceous Tertiary Boundary impact at Chicks Club off the Yucatan coast, where a 10-kilometer diameter asteroid hit the Earth's surface, and it happened to hit almost in the worst-case scenario. It hit a shallow shelf, marine shelf, on which were lots of evaporite minerals, particularly anhydrite, gypsum, calcium sulfate. And all of that sulfate was ejected into the atmosphere and was part of the contributor towards the global cooling problems. And in that case, we think the cooling effect lasted a decade or more. And that's part of the reason why so many things died out. The food chain was broken because a lot of photosynthetic organisms couldn't receive enough sunlight to survive.
Right. Well, I mean, pragmatism suggests that perhaps we should be, aside from, of course, the devastating effects in the immediate surroundings of the volcano, perhaps we should be hoping for a couple more eruptions like this to counteract some of the issues we're seeing with global warming.
Well, you could hope. And in fact, thinking laterally, there is a school of geoengineering thought which has looked at processes like this, thinking, well, if it happens naturally, could we not just engineer this, put up an aerosol or dust veil into the atmosphere to counteract the effects of what we humans might be doing in terms of burning fossil fuels? It's a dangerous game to be playing, of course. It's good to think academically about what you might achieve and what the scale of the operation might require. And I think there's a lot of opposition to that. So, well, we're running an experiment anyway, burning fossil fuels. Do we want to continue doing that and try and have an antidote by putting dust into the atmosphere? Well, I think that might be a step too far for most people.
Mm. Well, as you said, though, a fascinating thing to talk about. Richard, thanks so much for joining me this morning to have a little bit of a chat about the volcano in Bali and what the effects, just what they could be. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure.